The Cambridge Marketing Podcast with Kiran Kapoor. Brought to you by Cambridge Marketing College. See their range of courses and apprenticeships at marketingcollege.com.
Hello and welcome. Today we're going to be talking about the not necessarily exciting sounding subject of health and safety, but my guest Carla Crocombe, founder and managing director of Safety Rocks, certainly makes health and safety come to life. Carla, welcome. Health and safety doesn't sound particularly exciting, so how did you come up with the idea of Safety Rocks?
It's one of those things that the industry itself has this reputation for being pretty kind of male, pale and stale, this kind of boring reputation. And I had been working in the industry for over 20 years and I'd seen this. And I just wanted people to think about it in a different way. The phrase health and safety is one of those things that when people think about it, they think about people stopping people doing things. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's health and safety. We're going to stop mm-hmm. people doing things. But actually, the industry itself is all about protecting people. And it's one of those things that how can something that is possibly life-saving and saves people pain and suffering ever be boring? It can't possibly be boring, but the reputation of the industry is that it is. So I wanted to approach it in a slightly different way. So I thought for a very long time, it took me nearly a year to create the kind of Safety Rocks kind of brand to try and think about things in a different way and to change perceptions of the industry. So I consider that the job I do is a privilege, and keeping people safe, happy, healthy and well is a privilege, and no moment is dull. I can assure you, no moment in Safety Rocks Limited is ever dull.
Okay, so you say it took you a year to come up with a brand, and I have to say your website is pink, which is not what I was expecting from a health and safety company. I was expecting something grey. Talk me through the process of coming up with the brand and how you came up with the ideas.
So when I came up with the name, loads of health and safety companies that particularly that deliver training often have these kind of really boring titles like JS Limited or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, very boring and very, you know, not very catchy. And what I was trying to do was trying to think about creating a company that was solid, that was going to stick around. So hence the rocks bit, but also is young and funky. And those two things needed to come together in the name. And I worked with a very talented designer who did initially come back to me with very boring colours. And when they created the brand, it was blue and grey. And I looked at that and thought, yeah, no. My favourite colour in the whole entire world is pink. Anybody who knows me knows that everything I have is pink. So I've got pink this, pink that, pink this. And I thought, why not? You know, it's a very brilliant colour. There's lots of people out there, male and female, who love pink. It's very striking. And why can't we get that into the brand in some shape or form? So I specifically said to the designer, I don't want any of your blue and grey nonsense. What I want is pink and aubergine. I remember saying aubergine specifically. And he kind of looked at me a bit and kind of go, okay, he went away, scurried away, come back. And I literally see it and thought, yeah, that's perfect. So we've got all of the kind of different ways of looking at occupational health and safety. Our website, thank you very much for the compliment. There's a lot of time, energy and a lot of love that's gone into that website. But we literally wanted to make it different from everything else out there. So we do things differently. So everything that surrounds the business, we want it to be different. Does that make sense?
It does. So you said I'm very intrigued by how this set up. So you said it took you a year to come up with the brand. So were you launched as Safety Rocks? Had you launched yourself as a training person or were you working, doing something else while you were coming up with the brand?
I was actually training for another provider. So all the time that I was thinking about setting up my own organisation, thinking about, you know, changing perceptions, I was constantly learning myself. So I was already teaching and already working for another provider. And all that time I was thinking about how can we do this differently? How can we be better? How can we improve? Does that make sense? So
yes.
It was like a thought process, like a little seed in my head going, actually, what we've got here works, but we could be better at this. We could be better at this. We could do this differently. We could make this better, as well as thinking about my own life, you know, as in most people, when they set up a business, there's a reason for it, isn't there? You don't just go and set up a business. There's a motivation for doing it. And part of that was my own life as well. So I thought it would be better. I could I wanted to be brilliant. Okay, this sounds funny. I wanted to be brilliant, but in the confines of the job that I was doing, I couldn't be.
I think that's one of the best reasons I've ever heard for coming up with a company.
It's funny, isn't it? I wanted to be brilliant, but in the confines of the job that I was doing, I literally couldn't do that because I was too constrained by other people. Whereas when you run a company yourself, you have none of those constraints. You're obviously constrained by your customers, by your clients' requirements, by the partners that you choose, but you don't have somebody going, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. You decide. And that decision-making process is liberating, isn't it? It's completely liberating. Scary in the first instance, but liberating too.
Okay, I don't want to get into the brand is just pink, because I think marketing is too often seen as just colours. So you said when you were coming up with the brand, and obviously we've talked about the name, and I do love Safety Rocks, you've come up with a colour, but you said that you were also looking that you thought you could do things differently. So can you talk a little bit about the product and how you could see there could be changes to the product?
So the industry, the health and the safety industry, is flooded, literally flooded, with hundreds of training providers doing very similar kinds of things. So they deliver, you know, they deliver training. They do it in a very off-the-shelf way. So if you want a course, you go to a training provider and you say, "I'd like this course, please," and the training provider goes, "Yes, ma'am," or "Yes, sir," and then you get your course. But actually, the industry, especially larger organisations, so Safety Rocks Limited, we predominantly work with very large organisations. There is a need for a lot of working within the organisation to understand their culture. So each organisation, so we work in different segments: military, engineering, pharmaceuticals, and healthcare, and all these different, we call them our Magnificent Seven, different segments. They have a need for bespoke training, but not just bespoke, that word's used all the time, but truly tailored. So here we write training courses for our clients specifically. So they come with a need and they say, "We want this," and we'll go, "Yes, we can write that for you." So we embed ourselves within the organization. So for example, we work with the NHS, and with the NHS we've been on a journey with them. So what we do is we go through the whole process of finding out about how they work, their culture, what their aims and objectives actually are, and that enables us to write training courses that are very specific for that particular client, even within the confines of creating a qualification. So we teach people up to degree level in occupational health and safety, but throughout that entire process we can still do all of that truly tailoring. So it's quite unique. It's a very unique proposition in the industry.
Actually, setting up a business and going, "I'm going for something unique," is it takes a lot of chutzpah. I mean, you've got to be very confident about what you're doing. And the other thing I found intriguing is you said cheerfully, "Oh, we work with very large organisations." Lots of companies, lots of small businesses out there would love to work with very large organisations, but don't even know where to start. So now I'm really intrigued. How did you get that foot in the door? Because I'm assuming once you're there, it grows by word of mouth. But how do you start getting into a big company?
So there's a few things that you said there which are really important, and one of them is that bit about confidence. So one of the things I think about, the things that I've learned, so I think as of natural as a person I'm supremely confident, and I don't know where that comes from, but I just know the job that I'm doing, and I know that I want to do things differently, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm one of those people who genuinely believe that anybody can do anything. And I always stick to that. If you want to do something, you want to change something, just do it. It doesn't mean that there's no fear, but my fear is faced always, every single day. My fear is always faced. So that supremely confident bit comes into the equation. Second part of that is that over the years, I've worked in a variety of different industries. So I worked for the Health Protection Agency. I worked for the Department for Education. I worked in South Africa on a power station project. I've worked all over the place, maintenance companies, and I know a lot of people. And that knowing a lot of people really helps you develop relationships with people. And some of those are long-term friendships as well, you know, really well-established friendships, which are also work relationships as well. And some of that really helps. So those two things, being supremely confident about, you know, knowing that we can do this better, and also knowing a lot of people really helps. And you are right. The moment you start working with larger organisations, you just get more and more work, because people ring you and say, somebody says you were brilliant, so can you do this for me? Or I've been on a training course here and it was rubbish and somebody says I should come to you. And we literally get that every single day of the week, which is great, isn't it? I mean, it's a great position to be in. I absolutely love it. And I am still humble about it because I think I'm amazed when I look back. I started with only 7 days work. That's all I had. I left my job with 7 days work.
As I said, chutzpah, I think, is the word that's summing this up. So you also said you face fear every day. And I think that's something lots of people would find very interesting. So how do you do that?
Again, I think it's to do with being very kind of stoic about it. So it's one of those things that all of us in our lives, we all have things that have happened to us, which make us who we are. And when it comes to fear of failure, we all have that. So there is this bit that sometimes people look at, particularly at me, and they go, oh, you can't be afraid of anything. And I have this quite a lot. People go, surely you're not afraid of anything. But in the same token, we all have fears. And that fear of failure is something that we all have. But that point about it is understanding that it is just fear and that it doesn't have to limit our ability to believe in ourselves. So that fear is always there in the background, but it's just trying to overcome it. And every single day, that is a balance between, you know, those two things, between the fear that we feel and also the, you know, cracking on and just getting on with it. And I think the more time goes on and the more people, you know, give us good feedback and they like what we do, that fear tends to be slightly more reduced. And it's then replaced with another fear. And that fear is the fear of it all going wrong once it's began. Do you see what I mean? So you get successful and all of a sudden you go, well, I've actually got quite good at this now. I don't want to lose it. So what do I do? What do I need to do to not lose it? And that's a secondary point. So each stage you go through this process of building a business, you go through different levels of fear. And those fears at different stages are different. When I first started, it was, how do I pay my mortgage? You know, that was the first fear. You know, I'm doing this. Is it the right thing to do? I've left my job. You know, is it the right thing to do? And then each day those fears change as the business grows.
Okay. And I think, yes, one of the things I've certainly learned growing a business is the skills you need at the different stages change. So just as you think you can do something, you've got another whole challenge to come up with and a whole new set of skills that you need. One of the things that struck me when I first spoke to you was you were very confident about using other people with expertise, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs fall into the trap of thinking we can do everything. And you said, one of the things you said was you went to talk to a talented designer when you wanted a brand. Is that the way that you have set your business up, that you don't try to do everything?
Yes, and I think it's really important. And I think it was a lesson I learned really quickly. And maybe that's because I've spent a lot of time managing other people and being in teams. So and I think this is where your career comes into the equation, what kind of career you've had beforehand. So I've worked, again, with large organisations where people have to work together. They have to be cohesive. But I've also done a lot of reading and a lot of self-development and a lot of learning. And I think that, you know, that every single day you cannot grow without other people. And the reason being is, people have ideas and talents that you just don't have. So it's almost like I'm aware of my own limitations, like we all should be, really. We are all good at something, but we are not all good at everything. And so very, very early on, I realized that, you know, I could go and design a logo, but would it be any good? Probably not. You know, I'm a health and safety professional, and now I'm a managing director of a business. But, you know, would I be any good at design? Probably not. So why would I waste my time and energy doing something substandard when I can get somebody who's extremely talented to do that for me? And that is definitely a principle of the business. So we genuinely do, as a business, have an awful lot of people working with us who are extremely talented. Everybody from a videographer to a photographer to website designers to graphic designers. Some of the work that people have done, I'm so I would never have thought of those things. And I am so proud of everybody who works with the business and everybody who's actually come on our journey with us to see us grow. They're part of the business as far as I'm concerned. Even if they don't work within the business, they're associates or they're contractors, they're still part of the team. So very early on, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. But it doesn't mean I limit myself. What I try to do is continuously learn. But people, there's a book, isn't there? Matthew Syed. Have you ever read it? It is called Rebel Ideas. And that book is incredibly interesting because, again, in order for problems, complex problems to be able to be being solved, we need lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds with lots of different ideas. And that's the only way we grow, I think.
So you've talked a lot about the sort of positive sides of a business and growing the business. Tell me some of the negatives, perhaps the views that people have of health and safety training, or just some of the negatives about running a business.
So I think the primary thing about the negative image of health and safety, I said at the beginning about the whole bit about male, pale and sterile, and this bit about the industry being boring, but also the industry being very focused on stopping people doing stuff. So One of the things that people talk about when they do training a lot is health and safety. We're talking about health and safety. But when you ask people what health and safety means, they don't know. They don't know. So you ask them a question, we do it every single time. What does that actually mean? What we actually are, and the terminology is usually saved for monetary risk managers or financial risk managers, but we are really risk managers. So the industry has an image that we want to try to get to a point where we remove all known risk. Now, come on, we all know that that's not actually possible to remove all known risk out of life because A, none of us would run a business. B, none of us would go out. C, we'd all be wrapped up in cotton wool somewhere, wouldn't we? No risk, no life. So we are trying to change that perception by getting people to realise that we are not on a mission to remove risk, but instead to educate people to understand risk at a fundamental level and to accept that they're in control of so many aspects. So many people will say, I'm not in control of that. I'm not in control of that. I'm not in control of that. But we are in control of our own destiny as well as in control of the risks that we take. But in order for people to understand what risks they need to, you know, to understand, they need to understand what risk fundamentally is. And the amount of people that just genuinely don't know what that actually means is quite interesting to me. So if we're educated on something and we're informed about something, we can make positive choices. So we could say we're going to embrace the risk because we understand it. We only really fear things that we really don't understand. So when we're walking into the unknown, there is a level of fear. And that's because we don't necessarily know what the outcome's going to be. Even though we can do all sorts of calculations, it's not certain. You know, so there's a whole range of different things. Or we could chase risk, but it's our choice. We have a choice. So if somebody wants to do something that is particularly risky as a pastime, it's their choice. So that's one of the negative things about the industry. It's just misunderstood, I think. Misunderstood what we're about. We should be enablers. That's the profession should be enablers. Enabling people to do things rather than going, whoa, there, you can't do that because of X, Y, and Z. We should be explaining to people rather than prohibiting people. So that's one thing about the negative side. In terms of running a business, there's a vast array of challenges that occur. And that is that we don't necessarily know everything about running a business. So when we start to run the business, we are a specialist, aren't we, in our areas? Mm-hmm. And what we are trying to do is make money, a commercial entity, from something that we think we can do. In my case, I'm doing something that I'm incredibly passionate about and that I think is a privilege to do, you know, so I'm trying to make a commercial venture from that. So the negative parts of that is it's sometimes incredibly hard work. And I think people sometimes people will say to me, and I don't know what, Kieran, I don't know whether or not people have said this to you as well, but sometimes people come to me and tell me I'm lucky. And I get incredibly irritated about the lucky word. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've worked hard for that luck. And if you ask people who you think are lucky, often they've worked hard for their luck. It's quite interesting when people go, oh, you're so lucky, you know, you're so lucky. So that's sometimes a negative part. People don't necessarily see the background that goes into all the work that you do. It's a big lesson, isn't it? It's a life lesson. Running a business is, you go through ups, downs, sideways, elation, all of the emotions as you go along from running a business, don't you? You get everything. It's all in one kind of, it's all in one. It all just goes round and round in circles. Some days you're good, some days you're bad, some days you want to work, some days you don't want to work, some days, it's just, but ultimately, if you like what you do, I think you can always crack on and keep going. Love what you do, I think. I love what I do.
I think that comes across in spades. Carla Crocombe, thank you very much for coming on. You described that your vision was to create safety principles that allow people to come together safely. And I think you've demonstrated hugely how that comes out in your business. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you.
The Cambridge Marketing Podcast from Cambridge Marketing College, training marketing and PR professionals across the globe.